Let's Talk, Bible Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us today. Our passage is going to come from the book of Galatians. We've been going through Galatians on Thursdays, and we will continue in that pattern. And this is going to be Galatians 4, verses 21 through 31, which say this: "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born according to the promise." Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." This passage is an extended allegory. Now, what is an allegory? It's probably been a while since high school English. But an allegory is a story where the characters, the setting, the events of that story all represent something directly and recognizably in the real world. You have the classic allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, which is an allegory of the Christian life. The main character is called Christian. And there's a lot of things that happen in that story that it is a piece of fiction, yet the fiction represents truth and what it is like to live out this Christian life and what is our hope for eternity. Maybe a more modern-day example, there's a kids' movie that maybe you've seen with your kids or grandkids called Inside Out. And all the main characters are emotions: joy, sadness, anger, worry, anxiety even. And these emotions represent the words that they are. And these are characters that represent things that happen in the real world. And there's power in that. Now, allegory has kind of a complicated history through church history. A lot of the church fathers would try to apply allegory throughout Scripture in places where it's not necessarily supposed to be an allegory, trying to make things represent something other than what they are in the story. It's been problematic. Well-meaning though it may be, sometimes when we allegorize something, we take away the punch of this really being history, this really being God's command. But a good rule of thumb when it comes to allegory is if the Holy Spirit is the one doing it, it's probably correct. So here we are in the book of Galatians, and the Holy Spirit is giving us an allegory through the pen of Paul. And the allegory is this: in the Old Testament story, Abraham was promised to have many sons by God, and yet we found him unable to have children with his wife. So what do he and Sarah do? Well, they take matters into their own hand. And Abraham has a child with Sarah's handmaiden, Sarah's servant, Hagar. And Hagar, in this story, represents the old covenant. We've been talking about law and grace, that these Christians are being told that they need to be under the law once again, that this is what it means to follow Christ. And Paul is arguing against that and saying, by no means. Hagar represents the old covenant. Sarah and her offspring, Isaac, represent the new covenant. It is grace. It is God's power. And that is true both for the original story and what it represents. What is Ishmael but the child of Abraham and Sarah trying to figure things out on their own and making an utter mess of it? And what is Isaac but the child that they could not have created on their own? They wouldn't have written the story that way. Even after God promised them a child, they did not believe him. They laughed. And yet God, through his grace and his power, brought about the child of promise. This represents the Old Testament system of law and works and the New Testament story of God's grace through Jesus Christ. This is why it is important to know all of our Bibles, not just the New Testament. These are the easier bits to digest for us as Christians. We have the story of Jesus. We have the story of the New Testament church. We have Paul writing letters telling us, how then should we live? But the Old Testament is God's story of redemption. From creation to this day, God is telling one complete story. And the Old Testament colors and frames and shapes and gives us a context for why Jesus had to come and allows us to see the power of grace, that he's writing the story in the way that we would never dare. But he offers us grace. He offers us a place in his family that costs us nothing. So we, as believers in Christ, are the children of promise, the children of grace. Paul is about to say in this next section that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom to love, freedom from our old sin tendencies, freedom from having to check all of the boxes, having to do everything the right way, that we can walk in the knowledge that we are God's children, that we are loved, and that he has things for us to do now as his children, as his representatives, as his set free ones, his set apart ones. But we do so as children of the promise who have confidence in who our Heavenly Father is and that he is working in our lives. So God, we thank you for this allegory. We thank you for this story in the Old Testament that frames even how we understand our standing before you as Gentile believers here in 2025. So Lord, help us to walk in the reality of our sonship and the reality of our grace-based relationship with you that calls us, yes, to new life, to put on the new self, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And may we, as we grow in the knowledge of who you are and love for you, do that better and better every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.